We are continuing in our study concerning fear. I will say this, we've had a couple requests, I know from some of the those that have been working downstairs in the Kids Power Hour. We have got our recording system back up and running. Thank you to Brother Kellum for jumping right on that, making sure that that's happening. So hopefully we'll be able to get all messages and from here on out, those loaded up on the website. If you would like to, what we're doing is basically we're taking them, recording them onto a card, a little SD card, and then that card is being uploaded. Those messages are being titled and uploaded onto the website. So if you would like access to that and you're not sure how to get there or navigate there, you can see Brother Ryan Wallace or Brother Bill Kellum. They can help you establish a bookmark where all you got to do is click on that. It'll take you right to the page, and you can go to the archives and listen to the sermons and messages thereon. And so in light of that and understanding that the first two lessons that we've talked about or we've had concerning fear are not recorded. I'm just going to take a moment to just kind of review what we've talked about, what we've discussed thus far. And maybe if you haven't been able to be here in both of the previous study sessions, it will help you and bring you up to speed. Essentially, the study is we're talking about fear. On the first lesson, we talked about fear, what it meant, how it works, even from a scientific approach, social approach. We talked about in the sense of that fear is a spirit. We went in depth a little bit about why fear is at the foundation of many of the hindrances that we have, many of the inhibitions that we have in life. We find the foundation of it in fear. And so we talked in length about why it's so important for us to understand how fear works, and more importantly, for us to understand how to overcome fear. I talked about that courage is not the absence of fear, but rather it's the conquest of it, that we all deal with fear. We all have points and times where we come face to face with fear. And so we talked about it. Then in lesson two, we went a little bit further, and we talked about each week we've used the same focus verse. It's found in 1 John 4:18. Says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Last week we talked about the number one fear. Number one fear is the fear of death. But we talked about not in just a literal sense. We talked about how that Jesus, as a man, the Bible says he feared. As a man, he understood what he was about to endure in the sense of torment and punishment. We talked about how that Jesus was prophetic. He knew, he signified by what death he was going to die. Even though the Bible doesn't say it, it's very probable that Jesus himself witnessed more than one crucifixion during his lifetime. He was probably well aware of what took place and how the Romans went about crucifying someone. And so as a man, he understood what the cup was that he was about to drink of. Not only that, he knew that he had done nothing himself that would warrant that type of torment, that type of punishment. He willingly laid down his life. He willingly took the torment, the pain. And we talked about how that Jesus, of course, he's our hero. But Jesus did something rather peculiar in that he ran towards or went towards the torment. He knew what was happening. He knew what was going to befall him in Jerusalem, and yet he went there, fulfilling prophecy. And as a man, he did fear. As a man, he struggled with the reality of placing himself in that scenario where he would experience such excruciating pain. And so it is no wonder that he did request. He said, Lord, if it be possible, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so we talked about how that Jesus, and we looked at in reference to Hebrews chapter number 4, I'm sorry, chapter number 2, verses 14 and 15, says, for as much then are our children as the children, meaning us, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them being us, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And we talked about this in the sense that Jesus, through death, overcame the fear of death. And we talked about it in the sense of not a literal death, and that many times, how many times do we literally have the fear of death in our lives? It's not very often. I'm not saying we don't. There are points in times. But more importantly, we talked about death in a figurative sense. Those things that die figuratively when we experience things like rejection and betrayal and trespasses and those things that happened as a result. And many times we fear what dies as a result of those things. We fear the death of our self-worth. We feel the death of acceptance. We fear those things. And so in our nature, we want to avoid those things. However, we talked about the only way for us to truly overcome and have courage and be able to overcome the fear is through the fear itself, through experiencing those things. We talked about how that someone who has a hard time with rejection, however, the more times they experience that, the less power it has. And so even in training in some secular industries, they will train people on how to deal with rejection after rejection, especially in the sales industry. They teach them how to deal with the no, how to deal with the rejection. You're going to get the rejection. It's going to happen. But the more you accept it and the more you face it, the easier it becomes. And so we talked about that in a spiritual sense. And us as individuals, we often want to run away from the fear. We want to run away from the pain. We want to go back into our comfort zone and do what feels good and feels nice and keeps us safe and secure. And so really stepping out and getting out of our comfort zone is something we struggle with. And so we ask, how many would like more courage? All that were honest raised their hand and said, I would like more courage. And we talked about how that courage is essential. It's necessary if we're going to be able to overcome fear. We have to have more courage. And so one of the things that we said in closing last week was this. And we're going to kind of piggyback from off of this into the lesson tonight. It says, as my courage to experience and face the fear increases, my need for the comfort found in avoiding the fear decreases, and the fear loses its power. The more I face it, the more I experience it, the more that instead of running away from it, I run to it. Or I kind of have that bring it on mentality where I say, you know what, I'm not going to avoid. I'm not just going to turn and it's not going to be a flight all the time. I'm going to have to learn how to fight this. I'm going to have to learn how to stand up. And the more I do that and the more that I experience that and I face it, as those opportunities increase. And that's not meaning I'm going to do it every time. But the more frequent those opportunities become and I face down the fear, guess what? The less power that fear has. Because I've experienced it. I've confronted it. I've faced it. Do I do it every time? No. But I'm concentrating on being the type of person that says, you know what? Instead of running away and going back into my comfort zone and feeling all safe and secure, I'm going to step out. I'm going to step out on faith. I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust. And I'm going to put it on the line sometimes. And so we talked about that, how that the as that courage in it to experience the fear and to face the fear grows or it increases, then the power that fear has over me begins to decrease. So eventually, the hope and the prayer is that fear has no more power over me. It has no more control over me. I'm not controlled by it. I'm not stopped by it. I'm not detoured by it. I have the courage to overcome it. We asked some questions. Where would I be today if I had courage to do more? What kind of things would I be experiencing in my life if I had the courage to face some of my fears? Where would I be? What would I do? I touched on this verse last week, but this verse is kind of going to be the focus of our study tonight. It's found in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's not given us a spirit of fear. So one thing we do know, one thing the Bible is very clear about is that the fear is a spirit. And if God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, where does the spirit of fear come from? Pretty simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Spirit of fear is spiritual warfare. It is a weapon of the enemy used against us. It is something that combats us. Something that comes against us. And Paul, writing young Timothy, wanted to know, said, listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear. When you experience fear, when you're scared, or when you're apprehensive, you don't understand, that's not coming from God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now here's the thing. We live in an entitlement age where everybody's entitled to everything. Let me just say it this way. God has provided access to these things. God has provided us access to promises, exceeding great and precious promises. God has provided us access to power, to love, and to sound mind. But that doesn't mean just because God has provided access to it that we all have it. I'm going to say that again. Paul told you, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. In other words, Timothy, God has given us access to power. God has given us access to love. God has given us access to soundness of mind. And the spirit of fear is what stops that. Catch this. Now, because we all learn better with pictures and illustrations, let's illustrate it. Here we are. We're there in our little bubble, in our area of life, our social circles, whatever you want to say. This is our existence, if you will. Here we are. For the sake of argument, here's power. God's given, God's made available power unto us. The problem, though, is here we are in our comfort zone. Power's not in our comfort zone. Wait with me. Those promises that God has provided and given unto us, they are accessed through faith. And faith has to operate outside our comfort zone. Now, there's this wall right in the middle. There's this thing that the enemy uses to stop us from getting from our comfort zone into power, into love, into a sound mind. There is something that the enemy uses as spiritual warfare against us to keep us from accessing what God has already provided, what God has already given. It is fear. It is a wall of fear. And this is what happens many times. We maybe take a step of faith and we decide, I'm gonna get outside my comfort zone. I'm gonna do something out of the ordinary. I'm really gonna do something. And then we're met with fear, or we're met with opposition, and because of that, we, instead of pressing through, or instead of having the faith to continue to go forward, that's painful, and that causes some embarrassment maybe, or some awkwardness. And so all of a sudden we start getting uncomfortable. And so what happens is often we just revert right back into our comfort zone. We just go right back into doing and being what we were doing before. We might step out every now and then, but because it doesn't happen right away, or because the wall's not broken through and we're met with some resistance, all of a sudden the fear starts to rise. And as a result, we return back into what we were. And this is what results. Do you notice the root word of that word? Discouragement. I step out. Then I'm met with opposition. Fear is there. Awkwardness is there. Vulnerability is there. Exposure is there. All the things that are uncomfortable for me. And I decide, wait a second, it's better, it's safe, it's more comfortable if I just go right back into my comfort zone and do what I'm used to doing and living how I'm used to living and being who I'm used to being. And so I'll just go right back in my little cocoon of comfort and safety. And as a result, what we don't realize is that discouragement comes. Discouragement because we wanted to step out. We wanted to do something different. We wanted to get out of our comfort zone. We wanted to grow. We wanted to mature. We wanted to experience new things and greater things. But opposition came and fear rose up. And so we reverted right back into our comfort zone. Then we get discouraged. I really wanted to read my Bible through in the year, but after 4 weeks, I realized I was 4 days behind, so I got discouraged. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to catch up. So guess what? I just reverted back into not reading my Bible. I'm just being honest. I'm just being plain. I'm gonna pray for an hour every day. Or I'm just going to get up every morning at a certain time. And then a couple mornings I hit the snooze too many times and I didn't get up and I didn't get things done and I became discouraged. And I said, you know what? It's a lot easier just doing what I did. A lot more comfortable just going right back into my comfort zone and living how I used to live and doing what I used to do. It's a lot easier. What is discouragement? It's a loss of confidence or enthusiasm. Dispiritedness. That's not my definition. Dispiritedness, that's what happens. I become discouraged. And so I'm no longer enthusiastic. I'm no longer wanting to. Not that I don't want to, but it's just like, it's a lot easier just to go back to doing what I was doing. It's a lot easier just to go back into that comfort zone and have those comfortable things and live that comfortable life. It's a lot easier just to do that. I wanted to get up every morning and go walking for a mile, and I did it for three mornings straight, and then the fourth morning I got up, and I was a little sore. I didn't really want to do it, and I was discouraged, and I just decided I'd go back to bed, and then the next day I said, well, you know what, I didn't do it yesterday, so I might as well not do it today. See how it works? And then I become discouraged. Well, I haven't done it for 2 days now. Before long, I'm not walking at all. I'm not doing any of those things that I know I should be doing that would be helping me and forcing me to grow and pushing me. Here's another definition. Discouragement, an attempt to prevent something by showing disapproval or creating difficulties, a deterrent. If you don't think that the enemy uses discouragement to keep us exactly where we are in our little comfort zone, not growing, not maturing in the things of God, not being who God wants us to be, because it's more comfortable just staying here. But then we look back over our lives and we look back over the year when we had all these plans and these intentions and these motivations to do and we didn't do it and we got discouraged, and now we look back and say, you know what? I really wish I would have kept up with that. I really wish I would have kept doing that. I'd be so much better off now if I'd have just stayed with it, but I didn't stay with it. And here's the thing. Discouragement keeps us in our comfort zone, and while we remain safe, we also remain small and weak. Ooh. Sounds like I'm falling right in his plan. Sounds like that spiritual weapon of fear is working to perfection. He's striking hard and often. And while I'm safe and I'm secure and I feel okay and I'm comfortable, guess what? I haven't grown. I'm still small. My area of comfort is still minor. Yeah, I haven't pressed the boundaries. I haven't really broaden the horizons. I haven't really expanded the circles of my life. I haven't really done anything. And we look back over and we become discouraged and say, you know what? Why do anything now? Why press forward now? I've tried numerous times and I just keep failing to do so. We will not grow and become more powerful as long as we let discouragement cause us to return to our comfort zone. Ooh. As long as we allow discouragement to keep us reverting back to that little comfortable place, guess what? We won't grow. There won't be any more power. Even though God has provided, even though God says, here, I haven't given the spirit of fear. I've given you power, love, sound mind. But every time you meet that, every time that wall of fear, you run into it, the discouragement. You feel the discouragement, you go right back. And then it's just cyclical. It just keeps happening again and again and again and again. How many times and in how many ways has discouragement kept us from continuing to try, causing us to return to our comfort zone? How many times? Think of it this way. Put on your creative thinking cap for a moment. Excuse me. Picture in your mind a wall. We'll call it the wall of fear. And on this wall of fear, on this thing that it separates and hinders us from accessing the power, accessing the broadening our horizons and expanding our borders, accessing what God wants us to do and God, who God wants us to be. This wall of fear is there, and what we need to visualize is that on this wall of fear exist all kinds of graffiti. How many of you ever driven through an area and you looked at a wall and it was just full of different colored letters? And some of it was kind of cool. And then I tell you where you see it a lot in town is if you stop at a railroad and you see the railroad cars pass by, you'll see a lot of graffiti on the rail cars. But think of graffiti on a wall. And you got to think of it in this light. It is graffiti of discouragement. Every time I've ventured, every time that I've stepped out, every time that I've decided I'm going to leave my comfort zone and I'm going to do something. I'm going to diet. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to get a promotion. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better father. Every time that I've ventured and I've stepped out to do these things, I'm going to have a better devotion. I'm going to have a better prayer life. I'm going to have a more consistent walk with God. And every time we step out and then we meet fear and something happens and resistance comes and then we revert right back to doing what we did before we decided to step out, and we're discouraged. And on this wall of fear is all this graffiti of discouragement reminding us of every time that we ventured outside of our comfort zone and we failed to break through the wall. There's a wall that is separating us from the power that God wants us to have, the love that God wants us to express, the soundness of mind that keeps us from staying in this cycle, which keeps us small and weak and not doing or being what God wants for us. On this wall of fear is all this graffiti of discouragement that reminds you when you decided you were going to venture out, but you were met with some resistance and it just didn't happen. I was going to do this. I was going to change this. I was going to save money. I was going to. Maybe even I started out for a while, but something happened. And all of a sudden I realized I haven't grown. I haven't matured, but every time I step out, I meet this wall of fear that has all this graffiti of discouragement reminding me of all the times I failed. Reminding me of all the times that I decided to venture out, but I never broke through the wall. So, put your thinking cap on. Crowd participate. Give me some examples. It doesn't have to be personal examples. Maybe it is. So I'm going to put this disclaimer. Some examples that you or somebody you know, you like that part? Somebody you know. That opens it wide open. Examples of some graffiti that would be written on this wall of discouragement. Anybody? Inviting someone to church, great example. Asking someone for a Bible study, and they say, no, I'm good. I feel rejected. And so next opportunity comes, and I know that being led to ask them, and I stop because I remember a while ago when I asked that person, and they said no, and so I'm not going to ask this person because I don't want to experience that I felt last time, and so I'll stay here in my comfort zone where it's cool and safe and secure, and so I won't ask, and I won't reach out, and I won't. See, there's love on the other side of that wall. There's something for that other person. There's something to be expressed, but instead of breaking through that wall, instead of trying again, instead of saying, you know what, I don't care. With all the no's, I'm just one more closer to a yes. Another example. You've got to have more than one. That's a good example, but anybody else? What would be written on this? What graffiti would be on this wall? Mr. Chris? Other people's comments of discouragement. Where you decided to step out and you were discouraged by someone else who took it upon themselves, and probably the reason why they discouraged you is because they dealt with some fears themselves. And so they decided to offer you some discouragement. And there it is. You stepped out. So-and-so, I was going to do this, but someone else decided they would discourage me, and now it's there as graffiti on the wall. Does this do it? Sure. Relationships as a whole. Relationships as a whole. Spouse. Parent to child. Yes. Those things are there. I stepped out one time and I tried to be honest and I tried to be candid and I tried to be vulnerable and it didn't go so well. I ain't going to do that again. I'm going to put that out there again. Yes, all those times, different situations and different circumstances where people started out to do something, but then it just didn't happen. Here's a big one. Comes around every year, first of the year. New Year's resolutions. I'm going to exercise. How many of us would have multiple dates written on the wall of discouragement when we started and we ventured out to do something that we knew was in our best interest, was going to help us, but a few weeks down the road, fell off the wagon, never got back on. And now we're discouraged. Now we're discouraged to do that again because it seems like the more times I attempt and fail, then the more discouraged I become. And you see, that's exactly how the enemy likes it. That's exactly how he uses it. Because as long as we stop without breaking through, we're still on this side. We're still in our little comfort zone. We're still safe and secure, but we're also still small and weak. So what do we need? Well, I guess the opposite of discouragement would be what? Encouragement. I know I say this often, but do we not understand that that's one of the reasons why in living for God it is so important that we come to church? Because this place should be a source of encouragement. It should be a place where we are encouraged and we are strengthened and we are. And here's the thing. If we're not careful, we'll let situation and circumstance, who's here, who's not here, what happened or what didn't happen, we will let that discourage us. And the very place where we could have been encouraged, we leave discouraged. That's not God's will. It's not God's will that we walk out these doors not feeling good about being in the house of the Lord or not come and being fed. And it's not God's will that we leave here discouraged and upset and fearful about the future or what's going to happen. Or, oh my goodness, such and such didn't happen or went on. It's not God's will. It's not God's will that we would come to a place that should be for encouragement and leave discouraged. But does it happen? Oh, yes. Does pastors sometimes leave church discouraged? Oh, yes. And sometimes he lets situation and circumstance discourage him? Oh, yes. That's why I'm teaching on it. I need it just like you do. I need to understand that if I'm going to break through into that power, into the love that God has for me, I've got to stop being turned away at the wall of fear. I've got to stop letting discouragement rule me because it keeps me in my comfort zone. And the reality is, I'm miserable in my comfort zone. So what's encouragement? It's the act of making something more appealing or more likely to happen. optimism, encouragement. Remember weeks ago when we talked about having a Barnabas in your life, having someone who was an encourager, someone who would strengthen you, someone who would help you, who would help you lift up when you're down and encourage you. I need someone. I need things in my life. I need encouragement because guess what? You can bet your bottom dollar there's going to be discouragement. There is definitely going to be discouragement. The enemy is not going to lessen what he wants to do in your life. He's not going to pull back. He's not going to say, oh, leave them alone. They're really struggling. Oh, no, no, no. He smells blood. It's like discouragement upon discouragement. It's like, I'm so discouraged. I'm discouraged that I'm discouraged. And that's not God's will. God's not given us the spirit of fear. And what we need to realize is this is spiritual warfare. You're not going to get over it by making yourself feel better. Forgive me, but I'm going to go back to it. We're not going to get over the fear. We're not going to get over the discouragement by going and buying stuff and making ourselves feel better about what we have. That's not going to work. It doesn't address the problem. The problem is fear. And fear's greatest ally is discouragement. And I slap a Band-Aid on a gaping wound by doing something that makes me feel good. Because where I don't accept the pain, I go for pleasure. Something that makes someone more determined, hopeful, or confident. Oh, my goodness, more. And God, I need some encouragement in my life. It's going to make me more hopeful, more confident. I'm going to break through that barrier. I'm going to live in conquest of that fear. I realize it's there. I realize I'm going to face discouragement. I realize there's all kinds of graffiti on the wall of fear telling me about all the times I failed. And I realize I can look back over my life and see all the things. And if I focus upon that and I look upon that and I stand there reading all the graffiti on the wall of fear, all the discouragement that's there, guess what? I'll revert right back into my comfort zone. I'll turn right around and say, can't break through. Can't do it. And I need something. Something that makes me more confident. Something that gives me the extra oomph to keep pressing, to keep pushing, to press toward the mark of the high calling. To something that makes someone more likely to do something. I want to do something. I always say, how many of you want to do something for God? Well, I want to do something for God. Use me, preacher, use me. Will you, and please forgive me. I understand the gist of the song. Lord, I need you to break through. Let me ask you this. Do you think God doesn't have the power to break through? Who's the one that needs to break through? It's the understanding that I need his help to break through. It's not, I'm standing on the other side of the wall saying, God, come on through. Come on. I know you're strong. Bust out those bricks. I don't want to see that graffiti anymore. Come on, God. Make me a hole where I can walk right through. I need you to break through, Lord. I need you to come. No, no. It's the understanding that I need you to break through. Catch this. It's the difference. We even sing it wrong. I need you to break through, God. I need you to break through. I need you to break through this situation. I need you, Jesus, break through it for me, Jesus. Break through it, Jesus. Break through it. He said, no. No, it's more like, God, I need you to break through. I need you in my life to break through. I'm never going to be able to break through without you. So I need you to break through. Because here's how it should work. Here we are on this side in our little comfort zone. All secure. We
sing the song, need you to break through. Well, I bring power from the other side and bring it on over here. I said, no, that ain't how it works. I provided it. It's there. It's accessible. But you got to go through fear. Jesus, through death, destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, to what? To deliver us who were all their lifetime held in bondage. How? Through fear of death. So I need encouragement to get from this side in my comfort zone. I need encouragement to step out and to keep pushing at that wall so that I break through to power. Catch this. I know you say, oh, I want anointing. I want God to do something special in my life. Do you think you want God to do something special in your life more than God wants to do something special in your life? Really? I don't think so. Oh, God wants to do it. Yes, he does. And we are our own worst enemy in it. Because we allow fear and discouragement to keep us from it. So, how do we do this? How do we get encouragement? Encouragement can come from many sources. Come from friends, family, come from the Word of God, come from preaching, can come from many, many sources. But the greatest source of encouragement is from within. Catch this. The greatest source of encouragement is from within. It's finally getting up the guts, the intestinal fortitude to do it. People can help me along. People can encourage me. But the greatest source of my encouragement is going to come from. Now, this is not some self-help, inner power, or meditate. No, it's understanding from what's within me. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. In other words, I already have what it takes. Not in and of myself, of my own doing, but through the Spirit of Christ, who's already through death destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That through the Spirit of Christ, I have the power to break through fear. I have the power. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out all fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I have the power inside of me. Catch this. One of the greatest sources stories of encouragement is found, it's got to be in the story of David. When he comes to Ziklag, after he has gone off and decided that he and his men would fight for the Philistines, they reject him being on the battlefield, and so David and his men return back to their place in Ziklag, and they find it to be destroyed. All their houses are burned up. There's just smoke, and all the wives and the children are taken captive. And the Bible says, it's a verse of scripture. The Bible says that the people spake of stoning him. 1 Samuel 30:6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. David, anointed next king of Israel, who in fear of his life had fled. And there in Ziklag, among the enemies of God, among the Philistines, David had made his abode with his men. He comes back to Ziklag and it's destroyed. Everything's taken. And the Bible says that his own men, the men, catch this, the men who had decided to commit treason with David. The men who had picked up their arms and decided that they were going to follow after David. The men that if they returned back to Israel would be taken as seditious and treasonous and probably killed. These men spake of stoning David. Now, if anybody had a reason to sit, be all upset, down in life, discouraged, it was David. The Bible says he was distressed. Was there discouragement there? You better believe there was. Could David just have sat there and just said, well, I guess I'll just rebuild now. God, you're going to have to help me. But look at what the next part says. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Wait a second. How did David get the guts to get up into those men who were speaking of stoning him, stand up and say, hey, boys, let's go get it back? Wow. None of us would blame David for sitting there in discouragement, bawling his eyes out, just deciding to rebuild. But no, the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Your greatest source of encouragement is going to come from within. Pastor, pray for me. I don't get so discouraged. I can pray for you, but your greatest source of encouragement is not going to come from my prayers. Your greatest source of encouragement is going to come when you get on your own knees and begin to pray. Oh, yep, I said it. It's there. Stop looking at all the outside. So it's there. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You've got to understand that if you have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, you already have what is necessary to get out of your comfort zone, to break through the wall of fear, to stop stopping and reading all the discouragement on the wall, and get to what God has for you in power and in love and in soundness of mind. So let's summarize. Discouragement is a great ally of fear. It keeps us returning to our comfort zone, which in turn keeps us small and weak. The graffiti of discouragement covers the wall of fear and reminds us of all the times we didn't break through. It didn't happen. What I wanted didn't come to pass. What I believe God had for me hasn't happened. And so discouragement reminds us of all the times. But encouragement gives us the courage to keep trying and comes from many sources. Just keep trying. Just keep stepping out. Just keep believing. The greatest encouragement is when it comes from within. Your greatest source of encouragement is going to be when you yourself start living in conquest of your own fears. I'm not saying people can't help you along. I'm not saying people can't encourage you. But your greatest source is going to come from within. When you get alone with God and you understand that God already has provided and given unto you everything that you need to break through, you just get it from the source. It's a spirit. How am I going to be able to combat the spirit of fear without another spirit? It's spiritual warfare. I'm not going to combat the spirit of fear with self-help and motivation and good accolades and compliments. That's not going to really help me overcome the fear. Because guess what? If those compliments go away and those people who encourage me are no longer there, guess what? Where does my encouragement go? From within. From getting along with God. Understanding he's already provided. It's there. The opportunity is there. And when we break through, it is to more power, love, and soundness of mind. As I break through this fear. You see, many of us are sitting here as products of breaking through fear at points and times in our lives. Some of us, when we first came in contact with this. What? Uh-uh. Never going there again. But guess what? Something happened, and we eventually broke through. The question is, at what point did we sit down and decide to stop? At what point did we stop? At what wall of fear did we stop on the other side and to say, I can't go through? And are you content with living on that side of the wall? If you are, this is not for you. If you're content with not growing, not maturing, not experiencing anything that God has for you, and you just want to go through the motions, this ain't going to help you very much. But if you're saying, no, Pastor, I want more. I want to believe more. I want to have more in my life. Well, guess what? Here's how. You can stand. The more power, the more love, the more soundness of mind I have, guess what? The better I not only am myself, but the better I help other people. The more I am an asset to the kingdom of God. The more power that I have, because guess what? There's going to be another time where I'm going to meet another wall of fear. There's levels. Talk about going to another level, a new anointing, a greater. There's levels. And at whatever point I decide to stop and no longer grow and no longer go forward, guess what? I won't achieve another level. I won't. That's why I need not just encouragement in the things of God and the people of God. I need to find some encouragement in a devotion and relationship with God where I understand it's God that gives me the power. It's God that gives me the ability to break out of this comfort zone and stop being small and weak and able to get more power and more love and more soundness of mind so I can help more people and be more of a witness and more of a testimony of how God works. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word teaches us and shows us, helps us understand what it means, God, to have what you've already provided unto us, God, that through working, God, and through deciding, Lord, that we will continue to step out and do things, God, and continue to try, Lord, that you will grant access, God, that you will help us, God, to grant us the power to break through into greater things in you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, God. We come against discouragement and things that would try to stop us and keep us on the other side, God, and we ask you, Lord, to help us, God, in our relationship with you to grow and mature and become more powerful and stronger to break through any walls, God, any strongholds of the enemy. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.